The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. And man, we have a lot of stories moving on a lot of different fronts this afternoon. And one story that I just heard about literally minutes ago, right before going on the air. So this is, at least for me, breaking news. Let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
So before I tell you what this news is, I want to talk about how communities fall apart. And I've talked about this a lot over the years because I grew up in Ballard, and Seattle was a very tight-knit community when I was growing up. And we had multi-generational families. You know, I've told the story about how my mom and my best friend's mom grew up in the same tiny farm town in northeastern North Dakota. My grandma and her grandma came over on the same ship from Iceland. And so, you know, we had these family connections. My friend's sisters and my sister were best friends and remain best friends today, you know, 60 years later. And that's part of how you have a nice, tight-knit community. But in Seattle in particular, but it's also a problem region-wide, is there are two things that communities build around. One is the church, and the second is our schools. And in Seattle in particular, we are the most unchurched city in the country. People in Seattle don't go to church in larger numbers, greater numbers than any place else in America. So the church is kind of a hub of community, is not a major factor in Seattle. And then you have our schools. Seattle is also always battling San Francisco as the most childless city in the country. And our schools reflect that. And families, and it all goes back to 1978 when they started busing in Seattle. And kids on the block where I grew up were suddenly riding a bus 45 minutes to go to Chief South. And vice versa, kids in the South End were riding buses forever to get to Ingram and Nathan Hale. And families, including my wife and me, before we even had kids, we owned a house in Ballard, our first home. We were childless, but we knew we wanted to have kids, and we knew we didn't want them to go to the Seattle public schools. Because, look, I was a creation of the Seattle public schools, and we both said, we don't want that for our kids, for crying out loud. And so you have a city that is more disconnected from each other than any city in the country. And of course, when Seattle sneezes, the whole region gets a cold. And there is a disconnect. And it exists in small towns, the suburbs, where, you know, either through church or schools. And those aren't the only necessary components, but they have traditionally, for hundreds of years, been the primary connectors. And so I look at what's going on now with the health crisis, Jay Inslee's health crisis. I'm going to get to the Inslee press conference in just a couple of minutes here from yesterday. It's outrageous. But give me a couple of minutes here, since I just heard about the breaking news that is so important I haven't even told you what it is yet. But with the health crisis, Jay Inslee said, no more church services. And yesterday at his press conference, he said, well, I'm going to loosen it up. If you wear a face mask and you have under 50 people, or you can have up to 100 people if it's outside in the parking lot, but you have to wear a face mask. And the thing about the face mask, 6 weeks ago, Dr. Fauci said, no, face masks doesn't do any good. And there's no reason for anybody to be wearing face masks. And then a couple weeks later, Dr. Fauci, nah, everybody should wear a face mask. It'll protect the people around you. And then yesterday, Dr. Fauci said, well, face masks are largely symbolic. So they just, whichever the way the wind is blowing, that's how we must live our lives. And so Jay Inslee took advantage of this opportunity to put an end for months to what was a source of bonding and community and fellowship, and that's going to church. And now we're seeing, because of the COVID crisis, the health crisis, that the schools are taking yet another hit. And so here's the news that I heard just as I was going on the air. And this is down in Centralia. And we have a lot of great listeners down there, and I want to hear from you on the text line. And if you have a particularly emotional story, maybe we'll reach out and call you back and get you on the air. But the Centralia School District has just announced that it's going to cut all sports and several other programs due to a budget deficit caused by the health crisis. And so they voted at a school board meeting to axe all sports for the entire school year coming up. Well, when I talk about schools being a source of bonding, galvanization, community, it's often the sporting events. It's the high school football game. It's the basketball games where community members get together and cheer on their school. And it's a beautiful thing. And it was one of the greatest joys in my life to be a part of that for 10 years as a varsity coach. It really is a wonderful part of community. But now government is saying, hey, let's take the two most important things for community. Churches, and we'll ban people gathering at church. Schools will cut all sports. And in the Centralia is not a wealthy area. I don't know what the median home price is. I would guess maybe $200,000. I don't know. Because I'm on the fly here because I just heard about this. But I saw that they, in February, they tried to run a levy. And it was unbelievably expensive levy, $2.50 per $1,000 in assessed property value. That means if you have a $200,000 house, they wanted $500 a year in a levy. And the people of Centralia said no. And this is before the health crisis. They said no. The 69% no vote on that levy. And then they said, well, we'll come back in April. Instead of asking for $500 a year, we'll ask for $400 a year. But then COVID-19 hit, and they said, ah, we'll take it off the ballot. Well, now I see that they're saying, oh, we're going to put a new levy up on August 4th. Again, asking for $400 a year if you have a $200,000 home. So are they really cutting all the sports? Or is this a ploy so that they can get people who clearly in February said, we can't afford this, and they can afford it much less now after COVID-19 has destroyed the economy here in our state. But they know how precious, and especially in an area like Centralia, high school sports is huge down there, huge. And this sounds like a hostage situation to me. Yeah, we'll take away what you love the most. But more importantly, unless you vote, unless you give us money. But more importantly, it's government systemically looking at the things that bond people, that galvanize us, that create community, church and school. And they're saying because of the health crisis, at a time when we need community more than ever, when we need bonding fellowship, and government say, oh, we're going to take all of that away too. Chaos will ensue. People will be desperate and helpless. And where will they turn in their time of desperation? Hey, I know, to government. We'll get our state income tax. We'll tax the wealthy, which will be every single person in the state, by the way. And it's illegal. But I'd love to hear from you. If you're down in that area that your school board has decided to hold all high school sports for the entire school year hostage, apparently hanging in the balance of an August levy that people clearly cannot afford because the governor has destroyed the economy in our state. And the end result, I fear, is exactly what is desired by the people in power. Let's tear away community, take away their churches, take away their schools as a gathering point, as a focal point. Let's create even more chaos because we can't let a good crisis go to waste, right? Let me know. Send me a text. I'm really curious what the people, especially in that area, are thinking about this. 98973 is the text line. That's 98973. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
And then we have Jay Inslee's press conference. And by the way, I'm really ticked off about this. He has another press conference today at 2:30. It's always during my show. But Jay Inslee, yesterday, we carried his press conference, and it was amazing to me. First of all, at the very beginning, he did go a little Joe Biden on us.
And we know that in Washingtonian, many Washingtonians, their way is a way of the spirit.
Teacher, can you diagram that sentence for me?
And we know that in Washingtonian, many Washingtonians, their way is a way of the spirit.
Yes, you're in Washingtonian. He's been saying his little catchphrase words too much, I guess. So then he talks about how he's going to let us congregate for church, even though it's a right that we were born with, as guaranteed by the First Amendment. But he's going to let us congregate at church once again. And then a question was asked about the head of employment security. Now, I've told you the whole story about Susie Levine. Susie Levine, I wrote a big story. It's still posted up at My Northwest. The head of employment security in Washington State. And under her nose, Nigerian scammers have stolen hundreds of millions of dollars. Is it 200 million? 900 million? Oh, they won't tell us. It's just hundreds of millions. And I talked yesterday about how Susie Levine got her job. She was appointed by Barack Obama to be the United States ambassador to Switzerland and Liechtenstein from 2014 till early 2017. Why did Barack Obama name her ambassador to those countries? Well, because according to the Center for Responsive Politics, between 2008 and 2012, Susie Levine donated $432,000 to Democratic candidates and organizations. She donated. She was a relatively young woman back 12 years ago. She had almost a half million to donate to Democratic candidates and organizations. She gave $18,840 to Barack Obama's reelection campaign. She bundled at least $500,000 in donations from others. The New York Times reported that Levine had raised at least $2.3 million for Obama's two presidential campaigns. So she's a huge donor to Obama and Democrat candidates. So that gets her named ambassador to Switzerland and Liechtenstein. And then Jay Inslee decides she'd be the best person on the planet to run employment security here in Washington. And then the Nigerians come and swipe hundreds of millions of dollars from under her nose. A lot of people have asked me if it was an inside job somehow. I'm not accusing her. I don't know. It's the first question that went through my mind when I heard about this massive scam. And I guarantee you, these Nigerians, they thought maybe Washington State would be stupid and lax enough in security where they could get maybe a million or two. And all of a sudden, the money just kept piling into the bank accounts that they'd set up for these wire transfers. And all of a sudden, these Nigerians are saying, oh, no, no, we did better than 1 or 2 million. We got 50, 100 million, 200 million, 300 million. They just keep sending us money. And so Jay Inslee was asked at his press conference, is he still standing by Susie Levine? And his answer is so telling because he refused to even begin to address the question that was asked.
Do you stand by your Employment Security Department Commissioner Susie Levine in light of the hundreds of millions of dollars lost here to fraud groups in unemployment payouts?
Well, what I stand against is the moral outrage of this international conspiracy that turned the virus of COVID into the virus of crime.
And I mean, he thinks he's such a wordsmith. They turned the virus of COVID into the virus of crime. Now, again, the question was, do you stand by the woman who oversaw hundreds of millions of dollars being stolen from us? You've got thousands of desperate unemployed people who can't get a check, an unemployment check. And he says, well, I stand against the criminals. Ooh, what a bold stance. You're standing against criminals. Why has no one else thought of that?
And these criminals deserve our scorn and our condemnation and our righteous anger. And they ought to be pursued, and they will be. And the department mm-hmm. now is involved in a very vigorous effort. They've taken quite a number of measures, which obviously we don't disclose so that the,
okay.
the criminals...
So we asked, do you stand by Susie Levine?
Don't learn about our activities, but I can tell you that they've been very vigorous. There has been some success in the over hundreds of millions of dollars that have already been recovered because of these vigorous efforts. And we thank some of the law enforcement activity that's been involved in that.
Right. What about Susie Levine, the woman who oversaw all of this?
We know that we are not the only state that has been attacked, unfortunately. And we know that not only are these people to be lambasted with the strongest language we can imagine.
Oh, by the way, so we are supposed to lambast the criminals with the strongest language, and I will. Gosh darn you criminals. You Nigerian scammers. Doggone you anyway. That's the strongest possible language.
For taking public money, but also because they've delayed our ability to help people that need help.
Now, that's what criminals do. He did not mention Susie Levine and if he stands by her. And why? Because she's a Democrat donor. That's how she got the job. That's how she will have a job for life. It's like being in the mafia. Once you're made, you're untouchable. And so you can cost people hundreds of millions of dollars and continue with a fat, big, six-figure job as long as you did your tithing to the church of the Democratic Party. And that's the way it works around here. And that's how she got the job, and that's how she keeps her job, because she's a Democratic donor. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Also, a local high school wrestling coach sent out a video about the man in Minneapolis who was killed by a police officer. And he was killed by the police officer. I defend cops whenever it is warranted. This is indefensible. So we have much more on that and how it's gotten a local wrestling coach in trouble. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Story that everybody in the country has been talking about besides the pandemic. And the story that has had, as you just heard, Minneapolis in flames the last two nights was the police killing of a man named George Floyd. And I finally had time to watch the video, and then there was a second angle available last night, and it is absolutely horrific. And look, I'm somebody who, you know, gives cops the benefit of the doubt in a lot of cases, because I think most cops are unbelievably good, decent, heroic people. But the only way you have credibility when you praise cops is if you're also willing to call out the horrific. And what happened in Minneapolis, there's zero way to defend what went down. And I will not be surprised if that cop gets charged with murder. And why they haven't been charged yet, that's what has the city in flames. The four cops have been fired, the one who had his knee on George Floyd's neck. And I talked to a police officer friend of mine who told me there's a nationally recognized trainer that a lot of police departments use called Cutting Edge Training, a guy named George Williams. And he preaches against that type of knee technique. Good cops train against it unless it is absolutely necessary. And when a guy is laying on his belly in handcuffs, it's never absolutely necessary. And it went on for this man for a lifetime, 6 to 8 minutes. It is so absolutely sick. And I know it's really hard to listen to this, but it's so relevant, because from whoever was recording this on a phone 15 feet away, if they could clearly pick up George Floyd saying, "I can't breathe," you know the cop who had his knee in his neck heard him say,
"I cannot breathe in the wrist. I cannot breathe." You're just a grown guy. You're a tough guy. I think you're a tough guy. He's not even resisting the wrist, bro.
His whole nose is
Okay, and that's a passerby who's saying to the cop, "You're a tough guy. He's not even resisting arrest. You're a tough guy, aren't you?" And it's an absolutely valid criticism of this.
Why you just sitting there? He ain't doing nothing. Put him in the car.
How long I gotta hold him down?
Why don't you do drugs, kids?
It ain't about drugs, bro.
Y'all
understand
that? Y'all don't gotta put
y'all
right.
He is human, bro.
His nose is bleeding.
You can put him in the car. That's a
we tried that for 10 minutes.
That's a bum ass, bro. That's a bum ass, bro. Y'all know that.
When you hear him repeatedly saying, I can't breathe. And sure enough, he got choked out under that cop's knee on Monday night in Minneapolis. It's infuriating to watch and to imagine what that guy was going through. They were investigating him for forgery. It wasn't even a violent crime that he was being investigated for. And he was in cuffs. How in the world do you not just take a man in cuffs and throw him in the back of the police car if you think it's a problem, instead of sticking your knee in his neck for 6 to 8 minutes? So, no, I will not be at all surprised if that cop gets charged with murder. And then three other cops were standing by, and none of them went up and said, "Bro, he's in cuffs. Come on, let's get him in the back of the car." And those three other cops have all been fired as well. Absolutely horrific. The response in Minneapolis, I understand the anger, especially the anger that black men feel when they watch something like that. I can't empathize with it, but I can absolutely understand it. Now, the response has gotten outrageous as well. You know, tear into a Target store and walking out with TVs, and burn down an AutoZone store and attack firefighters who are coming to put out the blaze. And the rioting that has ensued has not served any cause at all. But that is a separate issue. And, you know, what the cops did to this man is the primary issue, because that's the government killing somebody. And again, I'll give cops all kinds of benefit of the doubt, but there is no doubt in this one. Unbelievably, locally, a wrestling coach at Bethel High School, Dave Hollenbeck, He made a video for social media where he had somebody put their knee on his, or I don't know if it might have been just a picture, but he had somebody with their knee on his neck, and he's got his thumbs up, and he said, that's not so bad. And now the parents at Bethel High School are saying, why? Why is this guy even talking about what happened to this man in Minneapolis who died? And what Hollenbeck wrote to accompany it was, he was defending police officers. Don't defend cops like this. Defend good cops. Don't. It's just unbelievable. We tried to get this guy on the show. And Dave Hollenbeck, I know you've gotten a text from Nicole, and if you or somebody you know is listening, I want to talk to you and figure out what was going through your head. So I'll tell you what, let me take a real quick time out here. I'll play you what the coach said and did, and we'll talk more about all of this. But what an absolutely horrific story this is, and it was so preventable, and that's the kind of bad cop that's got to be removed. And he'll probably be removed from society. I think that cop's going to go to prison, my best guess. Okay, lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Rolling on here on the Dory Monson Show. So we talked about this horrific police killing in Minneapolis earlier this week. In the wake of that, a local high school wrestling coach named Dave Hollenbeck, he's at Bethel High School, he decided that he wanted to support the cops. And why somebody would send out support for something that I think to 99.99999% of us is absolutely indefensible. But he went on social media and posted a picture of somebody with their knee on his neck. And his caption was, not dead yet. And I'm trying to read it so small. He said, this is for all the race baiters and people that don't know what they're talking about when they're saying this could kill you. Well, it did kill a guy. And of all the things to try to defend and to accuse people of being race baiters because we call out the horrific actions of a bad cop. But he talked to Channel 7. He talked to Channel 4 and Channel 7. He told Channel 4 News, ComoNews.com, that he is not a racist.
I'm not a racist man. I don't have that in me. My children don't have that in them. I didn't instill that in them. I'm sorry that I offended anybody. That was not my point. I was trying to show something.
And what he says he was trying to show, he says he thinks the autopsy is going to show that the knee didn't cause the death.
I have a specialty in fighting on the ground. And I know that just putting your knee on the back of somebody's neck, to me, I would say that that's not going to lead to death.
Well, parents, as you might understand, they aren't being very forgiving of the wrestling coach. One parent talked to Cairo 7, Michael Spears at Channel 7, and they said they should have zero tolerance for the coach's posts.
There is no reasonable rationale for him to post anything like that. It's about humanity. It's about integrity. That post lacks both. You have young, impressionable lives that you're mentoring, and you're making stuff like this. That's no place. I have no tolerance for that.
Well, and it's also suggesting that the wrestling coach has tolerance for what every good cop has told me is a complete violation of how you handle a situation like that. The man was in handcuffs. You don't need to pin him to the asphalt, to the concrete, with your knee. If it's a problem, you and one of your three cop buddies, who have now all been fired, all four of them, lift him up, put him in the back of the patrol car with the cage, and take him away. But this went on for 6 to 8 minutes. The cop grinding this guy, and whatever the autopsy shows, you know, some said, well, I bet he has drugs in his system. Who knows? Who cares? You're pressing a human being's face into the ground after they are in restraints, after they're in cuffs. But the coach says, he tells Channel 7 that he just wants people to come together.
I don't want to get emotional or cry, but I think that it's... We need to come together.
But do you think your post made it better?
I'm not the most sensitive person, but I wasn't coming from a sensitive place.
He says that it was a demonstration of a knee to the neck and not racist.
I did not tell any lies. I showed that I was okay from a knee on my neck. That is it. I did not say anything racist.
Okay, just unbelievable judgment. I doubt if that coach will be back. Coaching high school wrestlers at Bethel High School. Why you would decide to delve into something that has had a city on fire for 3 days now is just a lack of judgment. I don't care what the intent is. It's a lack of judgment. You inserting yourself into something that's caused so much heartache and heartbreak. It's just unbelievable. Well, the story that I led right at the top of the show. I'm going to talk to somebody. Nicole just got me word. Before the end of the show today, I'm going to talk to somebody with the Centralia School District because they announced that they are canceling all high school sports for next school year. They say they just can't afford it. And they say it's because a levy. It was a massive levy, too. $500 a year if you own a $200,000 home. I mean, a $200,000 home is fairly modest. It's $500 a year. And they said, well, maybe if we pass this August levy, it sounds like a hostage situation to me. And we all know why schools can't afford anything, because I told you exactly what was going to happen. The teachers across the state got gigantic raises that were completely unsustainable, and then they would hold the taxpayers hostage when they had to raise more money to pay the teachers. That's truly what this is all about. Okay, Fast 15. It's coming up next.